Honest Bible Teaching on Revelation and End Time Truth by David Ebal is titled, Who Are the 144,000?
Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for the sensitivity to follow the leading of your Spirit. We ask for the opening of our minds. We ask for eyes that see and ears that hear as we look into the depths and heights of this great salvation that you have provided for us. We pray, our Father, that this lesson will make sense to every person, and that this will be a blessing and a benefit, and that as we make our decisions tomorrow, we'll be better off for having heard this message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Who are the 144,000? You got any ideas? Who do you think they are? All right, one says they're Jews, another said they're Jehovah's Witness. Yeah, somebody said it's Jew. Who else have you heard that the 144,000 are? Got any other ideas? Yeah, well, what do you think that I'm going to try to prove? Huh? Yeah, That's where we're headed with Scripture, to try to show that the 144,000, I'm looking at them right now. Now, so that nobody misunderstands, we don't have 144,000 in this basement tonight. And we're going to try to show that this is not a literal number, but symbolic. You know what I mean by that now? In other words, 144,000, really, it doesn't mean that there are only going to be 144,000 saved. I believe that this is a number which represents a group of people, the actual number of which is much larger than exactly 144,000. Does that make sense to you there? I'm going to try to show you why we believe that this is not a literal thing, but a symbolic thing. In fact, in the book of Revelation, how many have noticed that most all the time when we get into these tricky questions, we find that if we go into other places of the Bible interprets itself. Have you noticed that throughout all these lessons we've been having? The Bible interprets itself. You don't need to agree with me. Just listen for a while. Write down these scriptures and check it out. Be like a Berean. Go back and study the scriptures. See whether these things be true. And I think that you'll agree with us who the 144,000 are. Now watch on your chart for just a minute. And here's our old favorite, you know, the seals and the trumpets, the angels and the vials. And first point I'd like to make is that just in front of the seals are the 24 elders. Just in front of the angels are the 144,000. We're going to try to prove that the 24 elders are the same thing as 144,000 with Scripture. But we can tell already by the very position of the group that they are the same, because this group is right before the first seal and this group is right before the first angel. And we've already seen in our study of the book of Revelation that that which is on one side is a double apparel for that which is on the other side. See, and so that in itself. In fact, that was the clue that started making me search for other things. I didn't notice that the 24 elders had all these things in common with 144,000 when I read the book of Revelation. It was only after I saw these doubles and parallels and realized, well, these are in front of here, so I looked for something in front of here, found a group, and then looked at that group carefully and saw, well, they got things that are just like the things over in this group. The 144,000 have similar description to the 24 elders. Am I making sense to you here tonight? And in a similar way, after the opening of the sixth seal, we come to another group of 144,000. You see, this 144,000 in chapter 14 is not the same as the 144,000 in chapter 7. In fact, some Bible students haven't become aware of the fact that there are two groups of 144,000. One is in chapter 7, the other is in chapter 14. Now, the next thing I say is even more complicated, and I pray that you'll understand me. The group in chapter 14 is before, in front of, occurs first before the group in chapter 7. And everybody knows 7 is in front of 14. But the group in 7 is last. Now let's do that again. How can this be? Well, you remember that the book of Revelation is divided, doubled. Starts all over again with chapter what? Chapter 12. 11's the last, you know. 11's down here. Starts again in 12. Well, it's easier to see that 14 is closer to 12, the beginning of this, you see, than 7 is to 1. Okay, that's that's a quick way of doing it. But really, chapter 7 is right here, after the 6th and before the 7th seal. And chapter 14 is right here in the front of the first angel. So in spite of the fact that 14 comes after 7, still, because of the doubling or paralleling of the book of Revelation, chapter 14, the last half, still it's in front of chapter 7. Shake it one way or the other. So, all right, and then we won't stay on that point very long. We're going to try to prove that the victory group of chapter 15 is the same as the 144,000 of chapter 7. You might have figured that right away, see, because of its position. The victory group being the same as 144,000. The 24 elders being the same as this 144,000 in chapter 14. Then after we've proved that these are not the same, then we're going to try to prove that every one of them are all the same guys. And if you still love me, then you'll understand about that great cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on to perfection. Okay, let's start in. First, we'll read in the Bible about the 24 elders, and that should be in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, starting off with the 24 elders. I'm going to submit for your analysis right now that you're reading about the bosses of a group of people. These are called elders. Elders are leaders, is that correct? Isn't an elder a leader? These are 24 leaders. And we're going to find out that they are leading a group of people, and eventually you'll see that they're going to lead that 144,000. We'll be able to see that in the scriptures. Right now in chapter 5, verse 8, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them, having every one of them harps. Remember, harps. The 24 elders play harps. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, 24 elders, sang a new song. Remember the new song. The 24 elders are singing the new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Who was worthy, please? Jesus Christ, the Lamb. See, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God. The 24 elders are redeemed unto God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Point one. When I first drew a picture of the 24 elders, I drew 24 thrones, 24 men sitting on them, and naturally, I colored them while I was drawing the painting or making the painting. I made them all Caucasians, white, because we're white. You know, that would be the natural thing for your mind to think of, you know. But it says these 24 elders are out of every nation, kindred, people, tongue. So I had to go back after I saw that.
and I colored them. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His... You got it? Red, yellow, black. They're out of every nation. Also, I wouldn't want to set this up as doctrine, but listen, it's quite possible that the last throne hasn't been filled yet. Maybe somebody around here. They're out of every nation, is that correct? Tongue? Well, how about my tongue and my nation? You see what I'm driving at? Some people think, well, the 24 elders, you know, they've died and they've gone to heaven, they're all there. There just might be one of them around here. I'm not saying that's doctrine and I'm trying to force it down, but can you expand your mind for just a minute and see that it just might be? You know, after all, those last seven angels that pour out the last seven vials, they're real live flesh and blood human beings, right? We've been through that. We don't have to repeat that. Those last seven angels that pour out the seven vials, one of them could be here tonight. And I'm absolutely convinced myself, personally, though I wouldn't want to make a doctrine, that all seven are alive right now on the earth, walking around. Either men or women, and I don't know which. It doesn't matter too much there. So I said, well, if there were some angels walking around, don't you think we'd notice their halos and wings? You know, where's the chapter and verse for that one? Where does it say angels have wings? Does it say that in the Bible? No. And we could even entertain angels unawares. And I'll tell you, if a guy came in here with wings on, I'd be aware. Wouldn't you? Huh? Wouldn't you? Suppose somebody opens the door and he's got a great big bright shining garment, you know, wings and a halo, and walks in. Takes his wing, flips it over the chair and sits down like this. I'd be aware of it, wouldn't you? The Bible says you can entertain angels unawares. That means an angel can come in looking like all the rest of us. Right? Okay. Now, in this case, we have 24 elders. And I believe, though I wouldn't want to try to prove it, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if one of those 24 elders, you know, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, who knows, you know, or it might be some prayer warrior, some widow lady that's never, nobody's hardly ever heard her name, but she's on her knees praying for the gospel to go forth. You know, Billy Graham has a lady like that every meeting, every time he has a big convention, she gets there a week before, never goes out of her hotel room, prays, fasts for the meetings while he's being interviewed by these television personalities. Nobody knows her. But she's the real power behind those big meetings. See? So it could be somebody like that too. We're not saying it. All right. So we have the 24 elders. And let's go back and see what they do. In verse 8, we find they have harps, H-A-R-P-S. They have harps. Next, they have golden vials, which are full of the prayers of the saints. I'd like to talk to you about those golden vials for just a minute. How many of you have ever prayed for something and didn't get it? Please raise your hands. Those who prayed for something didn't get it. Okay. Lord, forgive the others that didn't raise their hands. We all do that, don't we? Sure. Sure, it's just a normal thing. You know what happens to your prayers? The ones that didn't come? The ones you didn't get? It tells you in the Bible they go into these golden vials. And their vials are being filled with these prayers. May I call them imperfect prayers? Prayers, genuine, really God, you believe in Him, you pray to Him, but the prayer may have been imperfect in one way or the other, and we're not going to try to analyze what was wrong with it. Maybe you were selfish, or, you know, who knows what, but in some way, this prayer just wasn't answered, couldn't be answered, and so those prayers go in these golden vials. It tells us later on in chapter 8 that an angel has power of the fire, takes these golden vials, and he pours the vials, which are full of the prayers of the saints, onto this great incense altar. There they're mixed with incense and burned or offered up to God, and they become a sweet-smelling savor in the nostril of God. And I'll tell you what it means. Even your prayers that are imperfect are being stored, and one of these days will be changed, and that imperfectness will be mixed with incense, and you know what I'm talking about, and then it'll be offered up, and that imperfect part will be removed by that fire, and the prayer will still go to God, and it will still be answered. So even the prayers that you've prayed that haven't been answered are going to be, as they're adjusted and changed. And I like that, don't you? That makes me feel comfortable. The idea that there's nothing lost in God's great economy. So we find these 24 elders now are storing up our prayers, the prayers that just cannot be answered. They're being stored right now. Did that make sense to anybody right now? How many remember that I'm telling the truth in the book of Revelation? Okay, now we'll go back to verse 9. These 24 elders were redeemed. I want you to notice they were redeemed. They had harps. They were redeemed. And they sang the new song. You see that? See that in verse 9? You know what it says? The 24 elders sang the new song. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is that when we turn and read about the 144,000, that's in chapter 14. Flip over there with me, please. In chapter 14, the 144,000, which are a parallel to these 24 elders, you're going to see that they've got the same description, except the number is different. That's all. In chapter 14, verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Lord willing, we'll talk a lot tonight about Mount Zion if time doesn't run out. Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. I got to stop here. You get the picture now. Here's heaven. Great thunders. Rushing waters. Kind of a noisy place, huh? And so, have you ever been under Niagara Falls? Has anyone here ever been under Niagara Falls? Well, there's a way when you go up to Niagara Falls, and it's pretty loud, huh? In fact, you can't talk when you get under there. This water rushing down, this tremendous noise. You just can't hear each other when you're under this falls because of the tremendous noise. It says there's great water. I heard the sound of many waters, the Bible says, and great thunders. Somebody said, well, they came to a meeting once, and the meeting kind of got loud, and people were praising the Lord. You know how they'd get sometimes, carrying on. Got pretty loud. One fellow, he said, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible, he said. God's not deaf. You don't have to make so much noise. Another fellow said, yeah, but he's not nervous either. I guess heaven's going to be a noisy place with all the praise, prayers, the glory being ascribed to God. People are just going to be, I bet people will get more thrilled about God than they will a touchdown. You think they could? Well, not in our church. Oh, no. You don't get thrilled about God. Everything is decent, quiet, and in order. But we see that these people are pretty thrilled. Okay, in chapter 14, I heard a voice from heaven, the voice of many waters, as a voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with a harp. They sung, as it were, a new song. There's your harpers. Remember the 24 elders had harps? 24 elders sang what? New song. These guys are singing the new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed. Were the 24 elders redeemed? And these 144,000 were redeemed from the earth. Now let's stop here and talk about the redemption for just a minute. The 24 elders were redeemed, the 144,000 were redeemed. Let me ask you a question. How many have heard that the 24 elders are 12 Old Testament prophets and 12 New Testament saints? How many have heard that? Okay. The Bible says all 24 have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Pretty well settles it, doesn't it? 24 elders have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, that kind of eliminates Moses. Enoch, well, maybe, who knows? I'm not going to get on that. But, you know, these have to be, can I call them New Testament? Saints. All right, now watch. These 24 elders were redeemed. They sang the new song. The 144,000 were redeemed. They were both playing on harps. And the 144,000 sang the new song. And no man could learn that song except the 144,000 which were redeemed. Well, if they are the only ones who could sing the song and the 24 elders were singing it, what's that tell you? Somebody taught those 24 elders how to sing that song, and they must have been part or a part of the group of the 144,000. Making sense so far? Now as we go along, we're going to see some more scriptures, and eventually you're going to see there's the 24 elders that are really the choir directors. Basically, that's what we're going to try to see. And they're leading a group of singers. Am I making sense to you? Okay. Now we'll go to the other 144,000. That's in chapter 7. Chapter 7, there's another group of 144,000. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Now those other guys had the mark of the Father in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed how many? 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So that's where we got the idea that they were all, what did you say? All Jews. Isn't that what your margin says? Huh? But now just a minute. The word Israel, we've already been through that now. The word Israel doesn't mean just Jews, does it? When we use the word Israel, it has two meanings. One, all 12 tribes, or the northern 10. In the Old Testament, whenever we find that word Israel, or the name of the guy, you remember, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, the father of the 12 boys. So the word Israel means all 12 or northern 10. Not just, say it, not just Jew. The word Israel, most of us think in terms of, well, the nation Israel, they've got a bunch of Jews living over there, right? And that's an unfortunate, well, I think it's a good term. I'm glad they chose the name Israel for the name of the country, but for Bible study, it makes it hard. Because that's not just Israel. That's Jews. And the Jews are two southern tribes. Does anybody remember the name of those two southern tribes that make the Jews?
Judah and Benjamin,
yes. Do you remember the Judah and Benjamin were taken captive over into Babylon and they came back? And does anybody remember what tribe Paul said he's from? Of the tribe of Benjamin. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. The tribe of Benjamin, he said, because they had kept their identity all the way through their captivity and they came back. And Benjamin, at one time, was wiped out till there were only 600 people in the whole tribe, though the others had millions. They got in trouble one day and they wiped them out, left 600. And then they played a little game with the girls and had a bunch of wives and that started up again. And that was the story of Benjamin. Benjamin, they were left-handed and they could work a sling and they could knock, or they could hit the end of a nail from many, many paces. I forget, it tells you exactly, but they all were all excellent, all left-handed Benjamites. And so we have Benjamin and Judah. They were the Jews, the northern 10 tribes. Now, when we read about the sealing of these tribes in the next verses, tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, tribe of Reuben sealed 12,000, tribe of Gad sealed 12,000, tribe of Asher sealed 12,000, so forth. If you'll notice that list, two tribes are missing. If you're taking notes, this is one note you must take. Two tribes are missing in that list. Does anybody know who those are that are missing? Have you had a chance to look at it? We're not going to read it tonight and go through the whole detail. Two are missing. Who are they? Tell me. Dan and Ephraim are not in that list. Dan and Ephraim, write that down. Dan and Ephraim don't make it into the kingdom. They're not sealed and they're not blessed. And there are two names that are in this list of tribes that have never been counted in all the history of the Old Testament. Two names have never been counted as tribes, but here they are, and they made it as new leaders of the tribes. Look through that list and find two names that have never been counted among the 12 tribes.
Joseph and Levi.
See, Levi was never counted as a tribe. Do you remember? Levi had no inheritance. Don't you remember that? Moses gave to all the other people an inheritance in the land. But to Levi, he said, your inheritance is God. And the Levites didn't have wills, an inheritance. There was no need for them. For their trust was in the Lord, and whenever they needed something, they were dispersed. The Levites were dispersed among all the other tribes, and all the other tribes had to pay Levi's bill. Because Levi had no inheritance, was never given any form of monetary or something, ground to work or anything like that. But the Levites were then maintained by the other people. Now, in a sense, I'd like to say something here, and I hope you understand me. In a sense, I identify with Levi. Of myself, I have no inheritance. Didn't come from that kind of a family. We have no inheritance. And as a Bible teacher, my inheritance is God. And whenever I have a bill, he makes you pay it. The other tribes. I mean, you see, and I relate with this, and it sure is neat. It's very helpful. One time I needed a station wagon. We were going to take a tabernacle that we'd built to a city about 30, 40 miles away, and I just wouldn't fit in my car. So I called up Leo, lives right here in his house, and I said, Leo, I've got to have a station wagon to take his tabernacle down there. And you know something? In the natural realm, formerly, while I was an engineer, I wouldn't have asked somebody for their car. You know, I was proud. I would have never asked for your car, never asked for anything. But somehow something, it was kind of like I was in the king's business. The Lord hath needed his donkey, you know, if you can see it that way. And I was perfectly at ease in taking Leo's car, asking him for it, which was a hard thing, you know, in the natural realm, but you wouldn't do that. But I did it because, and I didn't give it a second thought, because I was in a king's business, and we had to have it, and it was just like that donkey. It was time to use it. And so we used it. We just took it away from Leon. I'm not sure that I even asked him for it. It was just kind of almost for granted. It was Leo's car, but I needed it. And so I took it. And wasn't worried a bit. We were on ice. We were on snow. Taking it off to this particular place. And I wasn't a bit worried. I never even gave it another thought that I would in any way hurt, damage this car, because I knew it was for the Lord. Leo's car, but I got it when I needed it. Does that make sense to you? And it was hard on me, too, because in the natural realm, as an engineer, no doubt, if I'd have had the same problem, I'd have rented a car going down to Hertz or something like that and got that, you know, got me a station wagon that would carry this big load. But in this realm, watch out, I might be over some night. Because in this realm, when you're working in the Lord's business, then he's the one that just, you know, the Bible says we're all things as each joint supplies the other's needs, members of the same body. Is that right? Is that what it says? And so, he was the joint that had the car I needed. And that's the way it worked. Okay, we have Levi here. Now we have all of the 12 tribes, but Joseph and Levi have been added. Taken out are Dan and Ephraim. I prayed for 7 years, 8 years, and I said, Lord, I want to know why Dan and Ephraim have been left out. After all, that ought to be a real clue. What could a person do to be left out and not make it in the list of those who were blessed? Because they were called, and they were given a tremendous, they were chosen, marvelous calling and choosing of God, and yet they didn't make it. Dan and Ephraim didn't make it. And what did they do? I prayed for 8 years. One day we were on a bus. We were going from Shechem down into Jerusalem in Israel. And we were passed in a valley between two mountains. The name of the one mountain, Gerizim. The name of the other mountain, Ebal. I was kind of interested in Mount Ebal. And the guide said something. And there on that bus, he brought the answer to a prayer that had been 8 years in the making. It says in the Bible, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, he'll give liberally and won't even call you dummy for not knowing. Won't upbraid you. That tells you in James. But it didn't say it takes 8 years. But sometimes it does. Right? Sometimes. Well, nothing wrong with that. I mean, here's Daniel. He's a great man of God, and took him 21 days to get an answer, right? Not all the answers come snapping like that. Sometimes it takes a while when you're, you know, dealing in this realm. It just doesn't all fall into place like that. A lot of other things have to happen. So this guy began to say, and it was here on Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, that the two tribes, Dan and Ephraim, that's what I was looking for, did something that the other tribes didn't do. Oh, you could have said, well, Dan and Ephraim were idolatrous and they turned their backs on God. You know, all those kind of things. You said, that's why God took them away. Oh, no. All of them did that. Dan and Ephraim did something very special that the others didn't do. And here's what they did. When they set up the northern 10 tribes, a new nation. This new nation needed a king, and the king came from Ephraim.
and Ephraim set up the kingly line. So, on your notes, where you've got Ephraim, write false kings. Ephraim brought forth the false kings. And you might guess that the false priests came from Dan. Dan brought forth the priests of Baal, Sodomites. King Jeroboam didn't want Israelites going down to Jerusalem to worship God, so he set up a new religion when he seceded, broke the two kingdoms, set up a new religion, and set up two golden calves, one in Dan and one in Ephraim. But Israel said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." But they set up a false scepter, broke the prophecy of Israel and God. And Moses said, "Levi shall be the priest before the Lord." And they said, "No, it'll be Dan." And that was the mistake that they made. Consequently, when Dan was removed from this list, Levi was placed back in the list. Never before has Levi been counted a tribe, but now he's back in his rightful place, and Dan is kicked out. For Dan set up the false priests, and Levi, the true priestly group, came back in. But this time for an inheritance. A spiritual inheritance. You understand, this is all spiritual. Then, kicked out was Ephraim, and a name replaced for Ephraim was Joseph. For Ephraim set up the false kings. But we know that Joseph was the king of the world. For you see, Judah had the scepter, but Joseph had the birthright. I'll say that again. Old man Israel gave to his sons and said to Judah, "You get the ruling scepter. The lawgiver shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh come." But to Joseph, he said, "Joseph, my beloved son, I'm taking the birthright from Reuben, who defiled his father's bed, and I'm giving the birthright," and you know what birthright meant in those days? The double portion. And to Joseph goes the birthright. Though Joseph was among the last born, he became the first, because the first shall become and the last shall be first. And so now we have the two, I'm going to say it anyway. Here goes.
He was the first son out of Rachel.
Yeah. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus Christ came from Judah. The lion of the tribe of what?
Judah.
But the sons of God come from Joseph. Not exactly. Not, that's where we're having a little problem on it. It says very clearly that from Joseph comes the stone. And most people think that stone is Jesus. Turn to it and I'll show it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 49. I think it's important while we're on this stealing of the tribes. It's in Genesis 49, and this stone that comes from Joseph, not Judah, is going to be the shepherd. I'll read about Joseph in verse 22. These are the blessings to the boys that we're talking about, the sealing of the tribes. This may not connect in your mind, but it should, because these are the same guys that are over there in Revelation, but we're in the first book, Genesis, right now. And in verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have surely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. You see the shepherd, the stone of Israel? Most people think that's Jesus. But Jesus didn't come from Joseph. Jesus came from Judah. You see, the shepherd, the stone of Israel, is the body of Christ.
Someplace it says, "I'll give you a white stone." Is that tied in with that?
No. It could be, but I don't believe it is. You're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 right now. Hidden man in white stone. But here at this point, this is a stone. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it could be. There is a little connection there. I'm not going to say no on that. I spoke too quickly there. Yeah, there could be a little connection there. But the shepherd, the stone of Israel, is the body of Christ. There's Jesus Christ who came from Judah, and the body of Christ, and they come from Joseph. But I'm not saying literal, and I don't mean to insinuate that you have to be literal from Joseph. Could be. Because it's lost tribes, and who knows where the lost tribes are, and I'm not saying. But the point is this. Spiritually, we get the double blessing. For the last shall be first. And those are going to be here at the end time. And it says in Isaiah 61, "For your shame you shall have double, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves." That's all about Joseph. Joseph gets the double blessing and receives the blessing, the riches of the Gentiles. Am I going too fast for you? Your faces, a few of them look rather perplexed. And I'm touching on things that really ought to take 2 hours per sentence, you know, to build up to. But I'm just submitting for your analysis right now and thinking that the body of Christ receives its blessing through Joseph. And it comes into the kingship with only one other king above it. Joseph became king of the world only in the throne was Pharaoh greater. The body of Christ will become king of the world only in the headship shall Jesus Christ be the greater. Are you following this parallel? And it goes on and on and on. It's a tremendous parallel to see the life of Joseph. After all, haven't you been in a pit? Hmm? Didn't your brothers get after you because of what you came into? You visionary dreamers, you. But I want you to know something. The trouble you're in is because he's getting you ready to be king of the world. Sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, kings and priests, those who will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.